Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Preacher and the Miracle Man here with you on this beautiful Monday night. We got a packed show with you tonight, for you tonight. We're going to read some about faith. We're going to pray for Vegas. We're going to read a bit on faith. We're going to pray for Vegas. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about some football, and we're going to do the Tigers wrap up. I'm going to kind of reflect a little bit on the season, what I expected, and unfortunately what happened. You'll find out why I say unfortunately when we get to that portion of the broadcast. With that in mind, I will first say where we are at. We are at McDonald's again on South Saginaw Road, 1711 South Saginaw Road in Midland, Michigan. We are located north of an Admiral gas station, and we are directly south of a Disability Network office, Mid-Michigan, and we are directly across the street from Kmart. If you're coming south down Saginaw Road, Kmart will be on your right, and we'll be on your left. And if you're coming north on Saginaw Road, it's vice versa. We're on the right, Kmart's on the left. You come in, go all the way to the back of the restaurant, back towards the bathrooms, and we'll be right here. We'd love to talk to you. We had a guest come on just last show and talk about what God was doing in her life. So we'd love to have you come and talk to us. Or here's another idea. If that doesn't work out, you want to talk to us? You want us to pray for you? Because we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to talk to you. We can talk. We'll talk sports. We'll talk current events. We'll talk about faith. The one thing we don't do on the show is we don't do politics. I am not a politics radio show host. I don't do that. You can have Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Laura Ingraham, wonderful people. In fact, I love most of these people, and I love their shows. But I choose to go a different way with my show. So I don't do politics on my shows. But anything else, you want to talk sports, whatever, you can call into the show. And let me give you that number right now. 215-383-3810. Again, that's 215-383-3810. You'll press 1, and then it'll get you through the screener, and then you'll get right on the show with us. And we'll talk. Here's another great idea. It is always a smart thing to listen to this program with your smartphone or your laptop or your smartwatch, if you want to do that, or your iPad. Hey, if you got the right connection, you could hook up your smartphone and you could listen to it through your car speakers, like maybe you're traveling on the highway or something. And it's great technology. It's great because of all the ways you can listen to us. So, yeah, it's a smart thing to listen to the show on the smartphone. What you do is go to blogtalkradio.com. You know, search Upfront Entertainment, and then you'll see our show, The Preacher and the Miracle Man. We have all the episodes archived, so you can listen to them on your phone at the gym when you're working out. You can listen to them at work if your boss lets you. You can listen to them while you're driving. Or you can listen to them. Maybe you could listen to it while you're drifting off to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Because what a great idea to get some word in you that way, because I'm a strong believer of faith comes by hearing. So, especially the part where I'm talking about the words, you're listening to that while you're drifting off to sleep. Then, hopefully, that's what your brain will be meditating on.
Amen.
So, you can listen to us that way. And we're so glad to have you. Now, we'll pray right now. One for the show, and then immediately following that, I'm going to pray for Vegas. Because then that way, I'll have it out of the way, and then we move on to something that's a bit happier. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you right now for the show. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon the show. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bless me, my voice, and what I'm to say, Lord God. I thank you that you bless that by faith, God, I have this equipment, Jesus, that finances continue to pour in. As I give you praise and honor for increase in listenership, I thank you right now, and I thank you, Jesus, for wonderful sponsors, great sponsors, whatever they might be, whether they be something like McDonald's or Coke or the Tigers or Lions, or whether it be something smaller like a local restaurant across the street or a window washing company or whoever. I just thank you, Jesus, that you would bless it. You'd bless the show, and that we have great sponsorship. And I give you praise and honor for that. And right now, I thank you, Lord God, I pray right now over this thing that happened in Las Vegas. This horrible shooting. For those of you guys who don't know, I don't know. I might be the most brief person you've heard talk about this. This might be the brief Vegas thing you hear. Basically, all you need to know is that reportedly, as of this time, 58 people have died and over 400 people are hurt after this very sick individual, very sick, shot concert goers who were down underneath and across the road from the Mandalay Bay Resort on the Las Vegas Strip. Basically, of a man in his 60s, he's up on the 32nd floor, and he's able to shoot these bullets way down and over at all these people. And it was just terrible, 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 sickening, and very sad. So I hope you listener, everyone who's listening to the show, is praying for these people. And I'm gonna pray right now. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for this situation in Las Vegas. I thank you, Jesus, for comfort, and show these people how to deal with it. People who have lost loved ones. Or God, I don't know. I'm sure some of these people who were there at that concert went to heaven. But I'm sure also, Lord, that I can't say for sure how many made heaven, and I can't say for sure how many didn't. We may never know. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you help people to deal with the grieving process. And I thank you, Lord God, that you just bless Trump and those in law enforcement and else to just show what we need to do, what legislation needs to be passed, whatever needs to be done, Lord God, so that this kind of stuff won't be happening at this level of magnitude. And I pray, Lord God, that thank you, Lord God, great law enforcement, for our police, and for our fire and our great police and security officers, that they know exactly what to do when they see trouble. I thank you, Lord God, for this. In Jesus' name, amen. One more thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to get into reading these verses and get your mind off this terrible thing. Well, this could have been really hard to predict that this could happen because it was from so far up that 32nd floor. Because, for example, if you go to a place like possibly a Cedar Point or something like that, or an arena nowadays, you'll go through a metal detector on the way in. And which means, generally, you can't take firearms in with you. So, generally, this kind of helps to keep down possible trouble. Of course, unless a bad guy tries to bring them in. But it makes it really hard to know what to do when these guys are shooting from like 32 stories up and across the road. Makes it hard for law enforcement to try to stop the trouble from occurring. What's that?
I am getting right off of this right now. I can already feel my, my mood going down. So, with that in mind, let's move on to something much better. The Word of God. Much better. So comfort. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. Yes, I know, baby. Sometimes I feel the same way. But instead, maybe the Word will comfort you. So we're gonna go straight back to this reading about the faith. We're going back to Hebrews 11, and we're going to read verses 1 to 16 again. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not yet out of the faith of God, a better sacrifice than he was as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks when he is even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And for without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he didn't yet see, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed, and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of him for the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Abraham, when he
past age, and Sarah herself, who was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself by faithful who had the promise. For so from one man, and he was good as day he came, indeed, and he and his descendants as numerous as the sun in the sky, as the sand on the seashore, which is so great. Was numerous as sand on the seashore, and in the sky, and as countless as sand on the seashore, all people who were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. As promised, they always saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were allies and strangers on earth. People who say such things must show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to read a few more verses down. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned with God that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses, his parents, hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. and he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as with greater value of the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. But now I'm going to zero in on the certain verse God's talking about by faith Moses chose to be mistreated, and instead of to do what God said, rather than to just enjoy life with Pharaoh's daughter and to just have the pleasures of being in that king's palace and dealing with and living in all that sin for a short time. That's how I want to be. That's how I hope that most of us want to be. That we'd rather do what God said than to just have all this shiny stuff that might not even be sin. And if it is sin, run from it. God would rather have us do what He wants us to do, and sacrifice some things if He wants us to. You know, we talk sometimes through faith. Sometimes we might have to give up some things in order to get what we want. I'm going to talk for a quick second about a Bring program. 2 years ago, we started an ambitious 3-year, $2.1 million building program at Living Word Church. As part of that, people, of course, now this program is totally no pressure. People can give if they want. Nobody's forced to give a dime. In fact, if you're going to this church and you're listening to me and you're feeling all stingy and you're feeling bothered and you feel like you're better, don't give. Deal with God later for all I care. It's not pastor's business. If you're listening and you're doubting and you think it's pastor's business, it's not. It's your business. If you don't put anything in that, if you didn't pledge and you put nothing towards the building offering or the nursery offering. We're doing one of those right now. We're doing a nursery offering, but it's on a much smaller scale. But where we're at right now is we have one building built. The nurseries are in there now, but they're about to go back into the original nursery, which is totally being refurbished. And when that happens, all the children's church and youth group for now the youth group are also moving into the new building, which is attached to the current building of the sanctuary building and stuff. But they're breaking ground right now on the administrative building. And then later on, when the money comes in, they're going to break ground on the new youth center / fellowship hall, which will be a great thing. But about the sacrificing, many people are choosing to sacrifice some things. One minister from our church, he sold his boat. So then he ended up having a boat given to him for a really good deal. Remember that thing with Reverend Saylor?
Yeah.
Yep. And these are all great examples of faith. And so this faith, all this faith stuff is We're barely scratching the surface here. There's so much in this faith requires sacrifice, because faith without works is dead. Sometimes that work can mean some sacrifice. Giving up some things, selling some things off in order to do the work of God. Because the work of God, it's a really good, really great thing, which leads me to a plug-in. If you're in the Midland area this week, my church, Living Word International, Falcon Ministries, is hosting a wonderful Ministry of Helps conference this week. It starts Tuesday night, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 6:15 for prayer. At Living Word, Mark Buckley Ministries, World Headquarters, Living Word Church, 2010 North Stark Road, just a mile north of US 10, the highway. And it's a beautiful thing, the Mystery of Helps. Basically what it is like I'm not going to say the word volunteer. What you're doing is you're like helping ministry via whether you're greeting at the door, whether you're singing in the choir or playing an instrument in the band of the church. If your church does that, ours does. Some churches just use CDs, but you're greeting at the door, help them lead worship or be in the band or the choir, security, cleaning in the bathrooms, working with the children and nurseries, accounting, ushering, elders. There's a lot. Of course, the elders and deacons, of course, are ordained, but the other smaller things, like, I don't mean smaller, I just mean other more basic things, like the ushering and stuff, you know, to be a point. Of course, to ushering, in our kind of church, you need to be a male, but, you know, honestly, I'm not going to get into all the qualifications of what you have to do to be in the ministry of helps. And to do that, you can probably find out if you come to the conference this week. And it's really great. If you go into a local church and you want to know, how can I serve in my church? Maybe I just started going, or it could be maybe I was just always sitting on my rump every church just and never did anything to help. And now I'm sorry that I did that, and I want to help. If you're not in the area, you can go to marktbarclay.com, and you can click on, there'll be a link for streaming, and you can stream any of the services. It's tomorrow night services at 7. Wednesday, we have a Wednesday service at 10:30 in the morning, and then again at 7 at night. Thursday, Friday, both days are 10:30 in the morning service, and then 7 o'clock at night, evening service. And it's going to be a great conference, great speakers, with a focus on the ministry of helps. It's really important that you get involved in your church if you're in a church. If you're not in a church, it's great. It's important that you get in a church.
Amen.
But the ministry of helps is very important. It's very important for many reasons. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of a... Now that I did that plug-in for the conference, I will also do a plug-in for America's favorite beverage, Coca-Cola.
Dr. Pepper.
Preacher man, I knew you were going to do that. America's favorite beverage in my mind is, in fact, Coca-Cola. The wonderful sweet taste, available at many places near you, but only one place that I know of that's available all throughout the country near you has it for only $1 for any size.
Yeah.
That is your local McDonald's. You can go in or go to the drive-thru. You can basically say, I'll have a insert size here, Coke, please. Many people like them with ice. Many like them without ice. Some with lots of ice, some with minimal ice. I choose no ice. Because when you get out of the fountain, it usually is pretty cold to start with. So people have asked me, you know, Rivers, why don't you like ice in your Coke? I say, well, it waters it down. It can water it down easily. And oftentimes it's not as sweet. And it's still nice and refreshing and chilly when you get it without the ice. Now, I'm going to open up my Bible to Genesis.
Genesis, the beginning.
You know, the very first book of the Bible. And let's see where we were last. Death of Sarah. Nope, we're not there yet. We're not to the death of Sarah yet. Did we read 22 or were we at 21 last time?
We just finished Lot and his family.
So that would put us at like 22, I believe. Oh, Abimelech, yep, 22. So this is about where Abraham was tested. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham said to God, here I am. God replied, God said to Abraham, take your son, only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah to sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham, he rolled over in his sleep and said, oh, I'm tired. Can I just have some books delivered to my house so I can sit and watch some TV, watch some football? No, he didn't say that, did he?
He did not say that. He got up.
So the next morning, Abraham, he actually got up. And he actually saddled his donkey. Oh, for those who don't know what a donkey is, it's like a horse, and people back in the day of the Bible, and even after, they actually rode their donkeys to places. They didn't just hop on their bike or get in their car and go. Some had donkeys, some had horses. And that was how they would get to places. They would use donkeys. Some people still have donkeys now. He got up, he saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he placed it on his son Isaac. For he himself carried the fire and the knife, as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and he said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here. Isaac said, But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. I want you to get out of this, that God's the provider.
Yeah.
God's the provider. Whatever your situation is, you're looking for money, you're looking for something, you're looking for clients, that's your business, you're looking for listeners for my show. God's the provider. God's the provider, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. He blessed his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Don't lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up from there. In a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on this mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, folks. The mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. You're looking for something? Just think of that. God is the provider. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And to this, your offspring of all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. So that sometime later, Abraham was told by Milcah, is also a mother. She has borne sons to your brother Nahor. Uz, the firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, to the father of Aram, Kesed.
Like Cheesehead.
Hazo.
He's a Packer fan.
Peldash, Jedlaf, and Bethuel. Bethuel became the father of Rebekah, and Milcah bore their 8 sons to Abraham's brother Nahor, his concubine, whose name was Rimmah, also had sons, Tebah, Gaham, Tahash, and Maaka. Yeah, so this God providing stuff is so beautiful. God wants to provide for us, and it's so great. Like, one great example is that coin in Matthew, where the man needs to pay his tax, and the man basically finds a coin. He finds a coin in the fish's mouth, and basically what happens is that coin ends up being enough to pay the taxes that this man owed. God provided that coin in the mouth of that fish. He provided it.
Thank you, Jesus.
God will provide things, and it's crazy how he'll do it.
Did I ever tell you the story of the pastor that needed money and God told him to go fishing?
No, I want to hear it.
Yeah, I don't know. He had some kind of program going. I think I saw this on TVN or TCT or something. He had some kind of program going, and his last offering before he had that money was Sunday, and wasn't enough money in the offering on Sunday, and so he was really bummed out because it was a lot of money. I think it was $10,000 he needed. So that night he prayed a bunch after church, and God said, go fishing. And he's like, go fishing. Man, Lord, Jesus, I can go fishing. Got up next morning, was praying, calling on God, you know, storming the gates and everything. And he said, God said, go fishing. And he's like, man, I don't know, like 10 o'clock in the morning, he finally said, I guess I better go fishing. Got out in the boat, totally frustrated. And first cast into the water, he hooks a boot that literally had $10,000 in it.
Wow. If that ain't God, I don't know what is.
But think about God. He knows where all that stuff is. We just don't let him move in the way he wants to. That's our problem. Because he's got a plan.
Yes, he does. And it is so beautiful. What God wants. That's God. It's kind of like how I'm believing for that healing to be made manifest, and
yep.
And I believe it's going to come.
Amen.
It's amazing what God will say. Sometimes the thing will get there, other times God will tell you to do something.
Amen.
You won't know necessarily unless you pray to God and ask him, you know?
Yep.
What do you want me to do? Like with that blind man, he had him go. He had him do that mud. The mud was put on the eyes, and he was basically told, "Go there and wash. Go wash." And then the blind man goes, washes, and comes back home seeing.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yep. The blind saw.
Yeah.
And God's still doing those kinds of things today. He's still healing.
Yeah.
He's still raising people from the dead.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. He's still getting people out of wheelchairs.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. He's still cleansing lepers. He's still curing cancer. Whether it's stage 0 or stage 4.
Exactly.
And when we're at our darkest hour, we just got to seek him.
Hey, think about it. Stage 4 is just a bigger stage for God to stand on so he can do a great work.
Yes, it is.
That's an interesting statement.
Yes, it is. That's all stage 4 means. That's really all stage 4 means.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just a bigger stage for God to move. So someone says, oh, yeah, by the way, I got stage 4 cancer. Oh, stage 4 cancer? That's just a bigger area where God can move. And he wants to move. You got to believe. You got to believe, though, that he's going to heal your body.
Amen.
Otherwise, he's not going to exactly do it. Even if you do have the surgery, it might take longer to heal. It might not be at the same God speed as if you believe. Because there's what's called God speed, which means you get it quicker, whether it's through a miracle or whether it's through that recovery system. One of these times I'm going to explain the recovery system. What it is and how it works. Because we might all want that miracle healing, but many times God uses the recovery system instead. And ultimately, when we look at healing, for example, it is thank God for divine healing. But you know what's ultimately better is to be in divine health.
That's right.
But thankfully, we also have divine healing.
Amen.
Because obviously, if you're sick, you got to have the divine healing in order to get to divine health.
Amen.
Because that's how it works. One of these times we're going to talk about it. Now, for those of you who are thinking, you know, which is the best soda to drink, I got the answer for you. Right here. This greatest coat for Donald. You can wash it down. You can accompany it with alongside a side of America's favorite fries, or a cheeseburger, or a chicken sandwich, which I got for lunch, or a hash brown for breakfast, or maybe a sausage McMuffin. Whatever floats your boat. The Coke is available all day, every day at your participating McDonald's. $1 plus tax. Price and participation may vary. Tax extra. See store for details. With that, I am moving on to sports. We got
sports.
No, we did it. And you know what? Because it's fresh in my mind, just to basically wrap this up for this season, I'm going to end with the Tigers. And I'm not just going to talk about the Tigers when it comes to baseball, because the playoffs start this week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, you know, say what the Tigers did, and then I'm going to talk about what I see happening in this postseason. What I see. So, dun, 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 boom, 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 boom. Basically, what you need to know is this. Tigers lose the series, final games of the season. In Minnesota, they lose the final series 2-1. Yesterday was pretty fitting based on how the season went. A 5-1 loss. Tigers lost 5-1 in Minnesota to Minnesota. Sanchez goes 5 innings, gives up 4 runs, 7 hits. Bunch of walks, 2 strikeouts. Last game, Last series finish at 64-98.
That's our record?
That was the final record.
Oh, my God.
64-98 was the final record. Not what I had envisioned. Not what many people had envisioned, too. And now, Osmus is gone. And so now they're going to start the interview process to kind of see, you know, who's going to be next. Will it be someone from within the organization or someone from outside? I personally hope it's someone from outside, because if they're not doing well at hitting, if the bullpen is doing terrible, if your starting bullpen at pitching at times is doing okay, it would have been doing better, but it's not, because a former being hurt for the last month or so of the season and Verlander being traded, so that didn't help any. And so I think they need to look for someone outside the organization to be the next manager for next year. So I'd expected, along with many other people, that the Tigers would challenge Cleveland for the American League Central Division and then possibly be in the playoffs as the wild card. But that didn't work out. Instead, 64-98. Injury problems. Those big trades didn't necessarily help either. They're still in big financial stress because they still got to pay part of Verlander's contract, even though he's now in Houston. So, through that, pretty much wraps it up for the Tigers until the next update I have, which hopefully you'll be soon as to who the next manager will be. Now, we move on to baseball playoffs that start up this week. Tomorrow night, for the AL wild card, you will have Yankees in Minnesota. Can the Yankees beat Minnesota? I think they will. I think you'll see Yankees Red Sox series. I really do. It'll be a great rivalry, I believe. And then the winner of that, though, is going to play Cleveland, I believe. And then NL side, your rivalry game. Your wild card game is Colorado and, let me think here. Who is that other wild card? NL. Who does Colorado play? Let me ask Siri.
Siri knows that.
Do the Rockies play tomorrow night?
Diamondbacks.
Oh, you have Rockies and Diamondbacks, both of which are from NL West. That's going to decide who, and the winner of that will move on to play in the best of five. Personally, the Diamondbacks were a big surprise. Rockies haven't been doing as well of late, so I think you're going to see the Diamondbacks win that one. And then, of course, you have the Red Sox are in no matter what happens tomorrow night. You'll have the Cubs. You'll have the Senators from Washington. Yeah. And you'll have... You'll have the Windians. Yes, I call it Cleveland Indians. The Indians, because how they won 102 games. You'll have the Dodgers. You'll have Colorado or Arizona. And you'll have the great Cubbies. So, with that, I'll let you know later in the week what the series exactly are going to be. Part of it's going to depend on what happens with the wild cards tomorrow and Wednesday. So, with that, we move on to football. First, we're going to begin with the high schools and what happened on Friday night. We first begin with live from Midland Community Stadium. I said, first I had to, it's not going to be an apology this time, even though it could be, because I predicted something would happen, and it didn't, but it didn't happen, and I'm actually glad it didn't happen. I said that Midland would lose to Davidson. I said it would be along the lines of 43-29 that Midland would lose to Davidson at home on homecoming. I'm actually happy to report that we won. Midland won by 14 points. Yes, Midland was able to, who was ranked number 10 in Division 2, was able to knock off Davidson, who was ranked number 1 in Division, no, ranked number 4 in Division 1, and that had not lost a game yet. Now Davidson is 5-1. Midland is 5-1. Midland wins at Midland on homecoming, 39-25. However, at one point it was 13-0 Davidson, and it could have been 20-0, but there was a touchdown called back. Luckily, it was still 7-0, and a certain drive where they had that touchdown called back, that would have been an 80-yarder, never got scored because it ended up that Davis had to punt, and then Millen got the ball. Otherwise, that could have been 20-0, and that could have been possibly all she wrote, and Millen could have lost. But thanks to some poor penalties by Davidson and some good hunger from Midland, we were able to beat Davidson. I was really proud, and the atmosphere was really exciting. A lot of people were very surprised at what was happening. The Midland side was very loud. The student section was amazing. I know, because I was sitting right up behind it, and I like sitting, you know, where the energy was. Because at one point I was sitting somewhere else, and I told the person I'm with, I'm like, yeah, we should move by where that energy is. So we go up and we sit up behind where the kids are, and it was fun. Man was great, with some good music. Millen's next game is in Saginaw, which I will not be at. I'll be at the conference. I'll be at the MOA conference. By the way, I did a push for it earlier on in the show, and I will do it at the end. Also, up the comments for you to please come. They'll be in Saginaw. I think you're going to see an easy win. And on Thursday, when I have it, on Thursday, the day before the game, I'll give the prediction as to what I see. When we beat Saginaw, we'll be 6-1 and be guaranteed a trip to the playoffs, and as the time draws closer, I'll start to give some opinions as to what that could look like. Dow, similar state, 5-1. But let me first, before I get into what Dow's record is in that, I'll get to you about what happened Friday. Friday, Dow at Bay City Western, the Warriors, who used to be great, several years ago. Now they can't do anything. They have a running game very well. They can't pass. They can't. They're just not doing well. They're 0-6. And Dow beat some 37-0 in Auburn. 37-0. Dow over Western. Dow is actually surprising me. I thought they would still be kind of good. I didn't think they would be 5-1, though. I didn't see them as being 5-1 at this point. Dow will now be home where they will play it's not Commonsworth yet. That will be, instead, Dow will play the Saginaw Arthur Hill, a team that has not won a game yet either. I think Dow will beat them also easily. Midland Dow game is about 2.5 weeks from today. That week, I'm gonna have some insights. I'm gonna email both of those coaches. I'd love to have a live segment with each coach. Their success of the season, what they think will be the keys to the Midland Dow game. So you'll have those of you Midland fans and Dow fans can have AC coming. Midland Dow game is going to be amazing, I think, this year. It's going to be amazing. I'm not going to say who's going to win it. I'm not going to give my prediction until the night before. I'm not. Because right now, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I know what I want right now, but I'm not saying it yet. But Midland and Dow, both great jobs. I can't say the same for Meridian or Bullet Creek, both of which are kind of down on their luck this year. But City of Midland, really good football. Pretty amazed at both of them, actually, what they're doing. And, of course, the father and son duo, where we have the father as the coach and the son as the quarterback, which for this year is paying Midland great dividends since that week one loss to Traverse City West, who Traverse City West is still undefeated. But now we move on to college. College football. Yes, you had Michigan State and Iowa in East Lansing on Saturday. And I said Iowa would beat Michigan State. Instead, Michigan State is able to beat Iowa 17-10, thanks to a good early start by Michigan's offense, Michigan State's offense, and great stands by the defense of Michigan State. Overall, good game. Michigan State, I feel like Michigan State, even though they have one loss to Notre Dame, I feel like they're improving. They're getting some things right. Hopefully, they can continue to do good. And then this Saturday night is the game between Michigan and Michigan State at the Big House in Ann Arbor. And I think you're going to see a very good game. I don't think it's going to beat Michigan State. I really hope they got some things figured out on the offensive side of the ball. On the off day they had Saturday, I really hope that they can get that figured out and and then make up their mind, is State going to be the quarterback, or is this other guy going to be the quarterback? Because once that other guy, I forget his name, but once he came on, they started scoring a lot more points in their last game. State had been quarterbacking, but then he got hurt. So, just in mind, for Saturday, you have Michigan with Michigan State at the Big House Saturday night. You'll have the prediction on the Thursday show. You'll have your prediction from me, what it's going to be. Don't worry. It's not going to be biased. I guarantee you. It'll be based on who I think is better. That's why I picked Iowa to beat Michigan State. Because even though I like Michigan State more than Iowa, I still thought they were a better team. Now, it is time for NFL. We have Lions Vikings. I'm going to tell you about Thursday night games that I've picked, and I'm going to tell you about a few surprises, and then what tonight's game looks like. We begin with Lions Vikings because it's local, so we always do local first. You have Lions at Vikings. First, it was, and up to be in a defensive battle, Lions 14, Vikings 7. It was, at one point, it was 7, was 3-0 Lions, and then the Vikings come in, they score a touchdown, 7-3. After that, scoring-wise, it was all Detroit. Minnesota kept moving the ball from time to time. Minnesota had 2 different losses of fumbles that Detroit got the ball back. One time they were able to score, another time they weren't. Good game by the Lions. Sloppy at times, but hey, a win is a win is a win is a win. No matter how you take it. Stafford, pretty good day. We ran the ball a little bit, but still not a lot. Defensive-wise, what's that kid out of West Branch named? Is it Anthony Zettel? Preacher? The Preacher Man? Yeah, Anthony Zettel. I believe that's the guy, Sam's friend. I mean, that Sam knows about from West Branch. He had a pretty good game. He had a couple sacks. And I give him credit. I'd love to meet him someday. I'd actually like to have him on the show at some point. It'd be a lot of fun. But until then, yeah, one can hope, right? Next for Detroit is going to be the Panthers and Lions in Detroit on Sunday at 1 o'clock. The Panthers actually knocked off New England at home, 33-30. No, they went at home in Foxborough. They knocked off New England in Foxborough. That's the second time this year that New England lost in Foxborough. They're 2-2, one game worse than the Lions. So, and again, I will have the Lions-Panthers game on Thursday night. Also, another surprise, you had the Bills. They beat Dallas 35-30. Bills over Dallas. I couldn't have seen that coming. Now the Buffalo Bills lead the AFC East. I don't know who could have seen that coming. Then You have the Falcons. Who did the Falcons lose to yesterday? Who did the Falcons play yesterday? Actually, the Falcons lost to the Bills. Who did the Cowboys play yesterday? The Cowboys lost to the Rams yesterday. The Cowboys lost to the Rams. The Falcons lost to the Bills. Both of which, in my mind, were pretty big surprises. Very big surprises. Also, you had Cincinnati who beat Cleveland 33-7. No surprise there at all. Cleveland, I think you could see another 0-for season. Them and the Giants, both terrible places right now. Terrible. You have Thursday night. On Thursday night, you had Bears and Packers. Pack wins easily. Pack won very easily in their game, just as I thought they would. So, nothing hard going on there. Then, tonight, you have the Chiefs versus is it the Jets? I think it's J-E-T-S, Jets. Who do the Chiefs play tonight? Do you have the Kansas City Chiefs against the Washington Redskins? Yes, I say the Redskins proudly because people think the Redskins name, you know, some people wanted that name changed. They think it's racist. I think the Redskins name is the name of great tradition. I think you're going to see the Chiefs win. I think you're going to see the Chiefs maintain the undefeated season they got going right now. I think they're going to keep that great work going. And I'm proud of what they're doing. So you have Chiefs and Redskins tonight at 8:30, Monday Night Football, ESPN. Let's see. Hopefully both teams can stand strong during the national anthem. Pretty good week, I thought, when it came to the anthem, except for three Dolphins now in London, and then 9 Seahawks sat last night during the national anthem. I was actually listening to that game on the radio, and then I later found out that 9 Seahawks sat, so I shut the game off because I'm not going to watch games in which the players are sitting or kneeling during the national anthem and disrespecting our country like that. Because it's not proper. We've got to get respect back into this country. It's very important. I would personally advocate for a rule change and say, hey, Mr. Goodell, I think we should look at having a rule. We should have a rule that players are required to string the national anthem. If they don't stand, the first time that they choose to kneel, they can be fined a certain amount that you, Mr. Goodell, will set. A second offense can be a greater fine and an ejection. And then a third time, you can have more penalties, such as suspension, removal from team, etc. Part of that can be teams, part of it can be decided by you, Mr. Goodell. Because we've got to get respect back into this country. And these players are role models. These players are role models. Obviously, for fans, I would say, yes, fans, you do whatever you want. You do whatever you want. I'd love you to all stand with your hands on your heart like this. If you choose to kneel or sit, it's, or talk through the air and throw you in your seat, say whatever, it's your business. But ultimately, it's time to get respect back into this country. And it starts with people like the players of the NFL, who are role models. Millions of kids, literally, I think, watching these games Thursday night, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and Monday night. Some of the people, I think there's a lot of people that will watch 4+ NFL game weeks. I listen to, on average, about 3 to 4 NFL games a week, I would say. Because I'll usually listen to the Lions game, whenever that is. And then the Sunday night game, Thursday night game, Monday night game. Sports fan. I love it. Part of why I do it is so that I can give a good report to my listeners. Now, we got hockey. No. You got the hockey theme music. Shoot scores! What? You have the Red Wings beginning the regular season on Thursday night at Little Caesars Arena against the Minnesota Wild. I'm excited to see how that new arena goes. Very excited. I'm excited to listen to the games on the radio. Hopefully to go to a game at some point where the Red Wings are at home. I've never been to a Red Wings game before. I hope to do it this season. I went down to Little Caesars Arena downtown this weekend. I was only allowed into the ticket building. I had thought, based on what I'd read online, that Villa Concourse was supposed to be opened almost every day. Unfortunately, I was told it's only opened on event days, which I thought was kind of like, why would they go back on their word like that? But from the outside, you can tell that it looks like a very nice facility. It is very nice. It is very much state-of-the-art. And that queue line on Woodward is amazing. It really is amazing. I love it. It's a great streetcar system. I think it's innovative. It's really nice. And that arena, they have a restaurant, two different restaurants where you can get to from outside the Little Caesars Arena, which makes it a pretty amazing place. It's an amazing place. I can't wait to go to an event there soon, whether it be a Pistons game or a Red Wings game. And we're going to in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from Wednesday, you're going to have the Pistons start the regular season. So when we do our show, you're going to start having Pistons and Red Wings updates on these shows. Now back to the Red Wings. Last year, the Red Wings ended that 25-game playoff streak. In 25 seasons in a row, made the playoffs. Longest streak in American sports, but it broken as they did not win enough games. They did not qualify for the playoffs. Hopefully this year that can change. They're in that brand new home that Illich built. In that brand new beautiful home. And it's going to be very loud in there. I'm really excited for downtown Detroit, for the Red Wings, for the Pistons. Yes, the Palace of Auburn Hills is closed. No announcement has been made that I know of yet as far as the future of the new arena. Now, I want to do a quick plug in for that great Ministry of Helps conference that is this week at Living Word Church. If you want to be a Christian and you want to be a great church, it's very important that you get involved in the church. Whether you're greeting at the door, whether you're helping as an usher, whether you're helping in the choir or the hello. Where did Preacher Man go? What? Where's Preacher? Where are at? But, sorry about that, guys. Sorry about that, folks. That's just on Mike Banter. Now back to this more important thing, the conference. The conference, it's going to be a great event. You can learn some great insights about the Ministry of Helps and how you can be a part of it if you're not doing anything for God. You got to get busy with God if you're in the church, whether it be music team, cleaning crew, usher, children's ministry, security, whatever God wants. Because God wants us to be busy and in his house and working for him. Preacher man, I meant to ask, what's the name of that player again that you guys all know from West Branch? Is that Anthony Zettel?
Anthony Zettel.
Yes, and I did say that he had a pretty good game. Zettel did have a pretty good game. I'm sorry, I backtracked, but because you just
hooked okay.
up. But I didn't mean to do that. But again, back to that conference. And again, there are two ways you can be a part of this conference. One is to join us at the church at 2010 Old Stark Road, Northern Michigan 48642. Get directions online. 1 mile north of US 10 off the Stark Road exit. Coming east on US 10, like from like Sanford to Coleman. You'll come off, you'll go left, you'll go over the bridge, you'll go a mile into the church. You come in west, what?
Can't miss it.
If you come in west on 10, you'll go right off the ramp. You'll go a mile and you'll see the church. You can't miss it, right on the corner of Stark and Lutz, right hand side of the road, going north. And it's going to be great. You'll have a lot of preachers there and a lot of people from their churches, from Ministry of Helps, and it's going to be great. You're going to find lots of insight. I'm thinking some of the morning sessions, they might have panel discussions
mm-hmm.
based on if they're going to do what they did in the past, and I think it's pretty cool. But yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great because true Christians, I believe, real good true Christians also serve in their church. They don't just go sit there tushy on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday, or in some churches, Monday night. They also help whether it be on camera, so whether it be media, publications, all those other, and all those areas, like I just said, bath, you know, helping with the bathroom, security, ushers, parking lot, what have you. It's going to be a great conference, and with a lot of great insight. So, and here, I told you about how to get to the church, where it is. The other way you can join the conference is by streaming the conference on your smartphone or on your computer. Go to MarkTBuckley.com, click on the stream link, and then you'll play button. You'll hit that play button, and you can start watching the conference. Tomorrow night, start the conference at 7 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, all 3 days in a row, back to back to back, you have 10:30 morning service. Get it done at 4:30. And then you'll have, on the evenings, you'll have 6:15 prayer. And then you'll have 7 o'clock service, depending on the night. Some nights it can be done by like 9:30. Other nights it'll go to like 10 something. It all depends on how God moves and what God has planned. It's all God-minded. This conference is all God-minded and God-centered, and it's based on the Ministry of Hope. I encourage you to come worship. Folks, another reminder, keep Vegas in your prayers. Please, 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 please keep Las Vegas in your prayers. Let these people will find hope through this horrible time. Absolutely horrible what happened. I woke up this morning, I turned on my radio, listened to the news. That's basically the first thing I heard, and I'm like, what? You know? And I'm like, wow. And then, God's in charge of this. God's in charge. Folks, we were really in the last days. But God has the answer to all this stuff. God has the answer to all the stuff that's going on that shouldn't be. But God predicted that these kinds of things would happen. You're seeing them. Last year, we had 49 people die in a mass shooting. This year, it was 58. I'm not sure how you can legislate these mass shootings away, because we are in the last days. We're in one of the very last days. This North Korea stuff, to think it's not the last days, if you think it's not the last days, you're crazy. You really are. Because we're closer than we've ever been before. Some of us might not realize how close we are, but we really are getting there, folks. We really are. So please keep those people in your prayers. Vegas, law enforcement, and everyone else that's in the line of duty protecting us and keeping us safe. With that in mind, God first, God always. God is always before sports, always. Always should be and always will be. God first, God always. And so long, everybody.
See you next time.
See you next time. Same stage.